This is an iHeart podcast.
Oh, we still need to have a reckoning. We're going to keep talking about this, and we're going to keep talking about the corruption of our system. We're not going to be distracted by the new shiny object in the news. All that's coming up on I'm Right. Welcome to I'm Right. It's time for some COVID communism. We're not going to stop talking about this. What? We're not going to stop talking about the reckoning. We're not going to stop talking about the system. We're not going to stop talking about the fact our cultural institutions are broken, lying, rotted, and corrupt. And we're not going to stop talking about the fact they committed murder. They did, several times over. They destroyed lives, even the ones they didn't murder. They destroyed lives. Yeah, I'm still talking about coronavirus. And I understand. Look, I get completely. We have a Supreme Court nominee. Jackson, she's going through all these hearings. There's all these sound bites. Look, I'm not going to ignore that. Jackson going to the Supreme Court, which she will, is not the biggest story in America. Russia, Ukraine is not the biggest story in America. Your government just spent two years, federal, state, local level, abusing you at every turn. And now they're dying for what? For you to forget. That's what they want. They are dying for you to forget all about it, let it go, do that thing the abused spouse often does as soon as the beatings stop. All of a sudden, you're grateful. Thanks for not hitting me anymore, honey. It is critical we do not do that. It is critical the people, the monsters who have done this to our country, are held to account. We must have a reckoning. And I don't mean lock her up chants at a rally. I don't mean resignations. People must go to prison for what they've done. You know what the CDC just did? They said there was an algorithm problem, a coding logic error. Apparently that's a computer term, a coding logic error. Okay, well, what's that mean? What's the significance of it? Well, once they fixed the problem, it turns out coronavirus death statistics have to be adjusted by over 70,000 significant reductions in the deadliness of it to children. Okay, so why am I so upset? Why is that a big deal? Can't you see what's happening? Now that the midterms are coming up, now that coronavirus isn't the sexy thing in the news, now that people were sick of lockdowns, now that people wanted to end, miraculously, the CDC is finding coding logic errors. And all of a sudden, it's not quite as deadly as it was before. This seems to be a consistent theme, time after time after time, where they will put something out there, trying to force the public into something or manipulate the public into something. They'll put something out there for political purposes. And then the second it stops becoming politically convenient, they just drop it like a hot potato. Okay, well, you destroyed a lot of lives telling us coronavirus was this deadly. I'm sorry, you don't get to now just do a coding logic error that says it's this deadly and say, whoopsie, glad we fixed that, because we all know what the game is. Midterms are coming, and you don't want to make coronavirus look like a big deal. This has nothing to do with science or doctors or medicine or coronavirus. This has everything to do with politics, which means they could have dropped all this at any time. When your family business was going under, oh, they could have dropped it. When you were saying goodbye to your mother for the last time over a Zoom call, they could have dropped it. When your brother got hooked on drugs again and overdosed and killed himself, they could have dropped it. They didn't. They waited until, oh man, we got some bad poll numbers. Let's adjust the coding error. Evil. That's murder. Lie after lie after lie after lie. Do you remember all the times they told you the vaccine is going to stop the spread? Do you remember? Do you remember some of the things they said? Here's the CDC.
Our vaccines are working exceptionally well. They continue to work well for Delta with regard to severe illness and death. They prevent it. But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission. So if you're going home to somebody who has not been vaccinated, to somebody who can't get vaccinated, somebody who might be immunosuppressed or a little bit frail, somebody who has comorbidities that put them at high risk, I would suggest you wear a mask in public indoor settings.
Nobody said waning. When you know, oh, this vaccine's going to work. Oh, well, maybe it'll work. It'll wear off. Nobody said, well, what if the next variant doesn't? It doesn't. It's not as potent against the next variant.
Did you hear what she said? What they can't do anymore is stop the spread? Because I know you remember the CDC saying, get vaccinated, stop coronavirus. Get vaccinated, it'll stop the spread. And doesn't stop the spread at all, not even a little bit. And so they go on TV and say, well, what it can't do anymore is stop the spread. No, 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 it could never stop the spread. And you lied through your teeth about it. And then when your lies were once again exposed and you were taking a political hit for it, you decided to say, well, look, it was stopping the spread, but now it can't do that anymore. It's a miracle. Something went wrong. Oh, these people are monsters. That Dr. Witch on CNN, Dr. Liana Nguyen, she, of course, used to head up Planned Parenthood. So once she was done overseeing the mass slaughter of innocent babies, she moved on to CNN, where she would push communism for coronavirus reasons time and time and time again on the American people. This is the woman who went on camera several times and said we should have interstate travel restrictions for the unvaccinated. Yes, that's exactly what it sounds like. Stop, show me your papers or you can't come into Delaware. Well, now she's all over CNN saying, all right, I mean, look, we got to back off. These things aren't popular, but we can bring them back whenever we want.
I'm not saying that we should be stopping masking, but rather that this needs to shift from a government requirement to an individual decision. The government can't keep on telling our citizens that this is a five-alarm fire all the time. People are just going to start tuning it out and not pay attention. They'll be desensitized. And so what needs to happen is we need to end the state of emergency and preserve the ability of public health authorities to reinstitute mandates in the future if we see more and more dangerous variants later.
Yeah. I call her Dr. Witch for a reason. Look, Dr. Fauci, of course, has been the worst offender of them all. He's been wrong about everything time and time again. One of my favorites, remember this? Remember when Texas started having packed football games? And Fauci goes all over the news with his stupid face and says, this is absurd! That so many people are going to die! Super spreader events! And then no one was dying. COVID cases didn't really go up. And he goes back on camera and says, just wait a couple weeks. That's when it'll happen. And that didn't happen either. And then he went on camera and said, well, science is complicated. Well, Fauci's starting to emerge again from the shadows just to remind everybody, hey, I might have to hit you again.
If we do see a significant surge, particularly one that might result in increased hospitalizations, we have to be prepared to pivot and perhaps reinstitute some of those restrictions.
Reinstitute? Oh, I don't think for a second they're tired of the COVID restrictions. They know you are, and they know the midterms are coming. That's why they're backing off. And that leads me to something else. I mean, we're all talking about the Supreme Court nomination process, Russia, Ukraine right now. Let's talk about the system that puts these things into effect. Have you been following what happened with the Project Veritas and the DOJ with Ashley Biden, Joe Biden's daughter? She supposedly had a diary. Project Veritas got the diary, couldn't verify the diary, but the DOJ, the non-political, impartial DOJ, appears to have declared war on them for it. Here's a longer video than I normally play. It's a couple minutes long. I want you to watch this and pay very close attention, because if the Department of Justice is now the weaponized arm of the communists in this country, we're in deep trouble.
Project Veritas has just obtained documents showing the SDNY was spying on Project Veritas journalists well before the FBI raided the homes of our journalists last November, secretly reading our emails, concealing that from the court in our case against the SDNY.
In November 2021, the FBI raids our homes and seizes 47 electronic devices, including cell phones, laptops, and thumb drives. Within 5 days, U.S. District Court Judge Annalisa Torres ordered the Southern District of New York to pause its review of my devices, and within a month ordered the SDNY to turn our seized materials over to a special master who would supervise the SDNY's review to protect our First Amendment and journalistic privileges. Recently obtained legal documents from Microsoft Corporation reveal that despite Judge Torres's orders, between November 2020 and April 2021, the Department of Justice went to 6 magistrates and obtained a series of secret warrants, orders, and a subpoena to surreptitiously collect privileged communications and contacts of 8 American journalists, myself included, from Microsoft. The DOJ even sought and obtained numerous secrecy orders preventing Microsoft from disclosing the surveillance to anyone. The SDNY also went around Judge Torres and the special master and obtained 2 secrecy orders after the special master had been appointed. The SDNY's surveillance of Project Veritas journalists was done as part of the DOJ's unprecedented investigation into Ashley Biden's diary. The documents collected from these email accounts date back as far as January 2020, 8 months before we even knew the diary existed. While the special master litigation proceeded, the government apparently misled the court by omission, by not disclosing that it had already obtained other privileged materials. The SDNY was ordered to turn over all materials to the special master. They didn't. The SDNY was ordered to stop reviewing our materials. They didn't. The SDNY has an obligation to be honest with the court. They weren't.
Are you scared yet? You should be. They can do that to a journalist looking into something the president doesn't want them looking into. What do you think they could do to you? All right. Now, for a bit of optimism out there, the Durham investigation, they are getting ready to drop a boatload of stuff. We're about to find out even more about just how corrupt and broken this government is. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. We have a panel next, a panel of moms doing the right thing, running for school board, trying to save this country. That's coming up in just a second. But first, let's talk about your home, viruses, allergies, and Eden Pure. You see, I've had a lot of air purifiers in my lifetime. I've never had anything like this thing before. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm not only kills viruses and mold, it makes your home smell clean. I don't even want to say brand new, because brand new homes have that kind of paint smell to them. It makes your home smell completely clean at all times. It took care of my allergies. Go to EdenPureDeals.com because they have a deal for my viewers. If you go to EdenPureDeals.com and use the code Jesse, you get a 3-pack for under $200. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back. I like people who put their money where their mouth is. And I like people who actually have guts. And I'll tell you what we get all the time when I do TV, you know, here on the first every day of my radio show, people email in and they'll say, oh, thanks for what you do. Why? I get paid to do this. This is no sacrifice. I enjoy doing this. People running for school board, those are the people actually doing something worthwhile in this country. So joining me now is my friend Kira Davis. She's, of course, the editor-at-large with Red State. But I would say more importantly, now she's running for school board in Orange County. And my other guest, you've, of course, seen her on TV. She's an actress, but now, more importantly, running for school board in L.A. County. Kira Davis, Roxanne Hogue. I'm sorry. Gosh, I knew I was going to screw that up on camera somehow, Roxanne. Roxanne Hogue. All right, Roxanne, let's start with you. You're successful. You don't need to be on school board somewhere. Why are you bothering being on school board somewhere? Why isn't the Hogue family luxuriating in the Mediterranean while everyone else is running for school board?
Well, a couple things. So I'm running for Board of Supervisors, which turns out is an even less known office than school board. And in LA mm-hmm. County, it's not only, it's five women. They're kind of like The View. There's one sane one and then four who have unbelievable control, sort of a quasi-legislative, judicial, and executive branch of county government. And we're destroying LA. They're completely destroying LA. And why we aren't luxuriating in the Mediterranean is because LA County Board of Supervisors took away my ability to work as an actor, my ability to volunteer at my kids' school, my ability to work, and the pandemic lockdown took away my ability to travel. So here I am. I might as well fight back.
Okay, let's pause on that for a moment. Took away your ability to volunteer at your kids' school? What?
So if people don't live in LA County, they don't realize how we were the worst place to be for kids over 12 in the past 2 years. Even when kids went back to school in the fall of 2020, Los Angeles kids over the age of 12 in public and private school, and that's all the way up to college, because I have a child in, well, not a child, I have an adult in a private university here. They were not allowed to attend school.
Good grief. All right, Kira. Now, you've been on the show 1,000 times, Kira, my radio show too. We have great conversations about things. I know your career is going very well. It's unsurprising. Why are you running for school board? That sucks.
It does suck. It sucks so hard, Jesse. But someone has to do it. Excuse me. A couple weeks ago, my school board representative actually voted to extend the mask mandate for our children in our district rather than drop it early, drop it before the state's mandate ended. And then she resigned before she could be held accountable for her decision. And for me, Jesse, that was it. I was like, this is enough. I've had enough. I can't just be talking about this. On my show, on my podcast, Just Listen to Yourself, I talk all the time about people getting in the game, getting invested, taking up stakes in what's going on in your own community. And I thought, I can't miss this opportunity to put my money where my mouth is, as you say, Jesse, and be a participant in what's happening, because I'm not just a political pundit. I mean, more importantly, I'm a parent, and I've been devastated, absolutely wrecked on behalf of my children over the last 2 years, what they've had to go through in the state of California. So like Roxanne, I looked around me and said, what can I do? It's not enough for me to talk about this. We have to get into these positions, because guess what? In another year, next cold and flu season, next pandemic that comes around, whether it's legitimate or not, we're back at square one. The only way we can protect ourselves is to make sure that good, sane, rational people, as many as possible, are occupying these positions in government. And I think we have found out over the last 2 years that your school board has way more power over your life and your family's happiness than any of us ever thought. So it's time to change that.
Roxanne, you mentioned you have a bunch of crazy women out there that are currently holding these positions. Kira has told me the same thing before. I find this to be so odd, and I know you're both mothers. I wanted to ask Roxanne first. Women, I get, maybe this is a stereotype, I think with women as being more caring, especially when it comes to children. I mean, think about my own mom. I mean, who loves you like your mom? But women have been awful when it comes to COVID restrictions in these schools and on school boards. I'm talking about the elected representatives. Why? What happened? What's wrong with these women?
Well, women are humans, and some humans suck. And that's no exception. There's no exception for women elected officials. But when you live in a one-party state, and it's not even, we're not even close to a tinge of purple. I mean, it is so far gone. Everybody's so far down the rabbit hole, and being they're puppets of big union, right? Public sector unions pull all the strings. We all know that. And so whatever ability they may have had to nurture and empathize went out the window. Also, Mark McDonald, a psychiatrist, wrote a book, The United States of Fear, in which he actually said that this whole response was actually driven by paying homage to the feminine, oh no, let's all be safetyism. I mean, that's why you have a mom and a dad, right? Your dad throws the kid up on the bed and the mom goes, no, no. That's what's happened to us. We have neutered men who would say, eh, it's kind of a flu. And we have just propped up women who just ran around screaming with their heads cut off. They're not my kind of woman, but hey.
Gosh, that is so true. All right, Kira, I'm going to have you watch this little video. This is from Very Red, Texas. I know you're both understandably hard on California, but this took place in Texas. Here it is. That took place in Austin, Texas. Kira Davis, that's an LGBTQ, I've lost track of all the letters at this point in time. That's a pride parade going on in school. Now, this is Texas. I understand how that's going to be reacted to in my particular neighborhood. In your neighborhood, in a blue area, how do they react to pride parades in school? I would think even Democrats are against something like that.
No, in my area, and I live in a fairly conservative area in Southern California, this would be considered supportive. Now, listen, I think we all can agree, you know, whatever floats your boat, whatever you get excited about, go out there and celebrate it and have fun with it. I've been to many gay pride parades in my lifetime for many different reasons, but this is, again, why I'm running for school board. This is not the kind of thing that belongs in school. These kids don't need to be part of any kind of parade. They need to be in class. Their butts need to be in seats, and they need to be learning how to read and write and how to do math, and that's it. We've just lost the plot when it comes to what the purpose of the education system is. It's not to socialize our kids. It's not to dictate the social emotional learning of our children. It is simply to teach them the basics that they're going to need to function as productive adults. And Jesse, something that I've learned in the last few months is that there are very few states, I think in fact there are maybe three, maybe four states that actually work above the education standards of the Department of Education. Almost every single state in the United States is failing when it comes to the standards according to the Department of Education. Across the board, red state, blue state. So we have an education crisis in this country. So no, kids don't need to be out marching for pride parades. If you want your kid to do that and that's something that you feel is valuable, then you guys do that on your own time. But on the public's dime, kids are not supposed to be doing anything but learning, and the rest takes place at home. And so parents, if that's what you want your kids to be learning and they're not learning it in your home, that's your problem, not mine.
Exactly.
All right, finally, Roxanne Hogue, crime. Look, everyone's saying it right now. Crime's out of control. Crime's terrible. Everyone knows this. But the people who actually live in L.A. County, the people who live in New York, people who live in Philly, Miami, Chicago, they're experiencing crime like they've never experienced before. It's not a shock there's crime in L.A. It's a big city. Could you please explain to people what exactly it's like right now for those, you know, who are in the burbs somewhere, who are in Wyoming?
Well, the crazy thing is, and we love Wyoming. I used to spend summers in Dubois. It's actually, L.A. was ostensibly a big city, but it's more of a sprawling suburb everywhere. Mm. I never locked my doors for years here. Huh. My mother gets really upset about that. But the fact is, it is beyond. I mean, my family left Jamaica at the height of really dodgy, horrible political unrest. My mother was dragged out of a car by a mob. So you can believe me when I tell you I know when to be scared. And it's time to be scared in L.A. It's not safe. Kids can't walk down the street. Kids at our school used to do a field trip, walk from school to the local grocery store so they could learn about fruit and vegetables in the refrigerated section. They can't do that because the sidewalks are unpassable because people are smoking meth and they're intense so they could reach out and snatch you into one. It's dystopian. And what's really horrible is that none of the people in charge live with the consequences. We're now approaching sort of favela land where the residents of, you know, District 1 in Hunger Games are all having fabulous parties and the rest of us are, you know, if you don't have an armored car and an armed guard, watch out.
Golly. Should be noted, one, I had a wonderful time in Jamaica, and two, the fruit and vegetable section is the worst section of the grocery store. But, ladies, before I let you go, both of you give out your website because I want people to support you as much as humanly possible. Kira, go first, please.
You can support me by going to kiraforschoolboard.org and donating. I'm going to have to raise $100,000 to beat the unions in my tiny little suburb. So every dollar counts. kiraforschoolboard.org.
Roxanne?
And I made mine really easy. It's superroxanne.com. Roxanne has two N's, my surname. Superroxanne.com. We need a super mom for supervisor. And the supervisor's race, which no one knows about, the big three are spending $2 million each. So every penny helps.
Go support them. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Jesse.
Thanks.
All right. We're not done yet. We still have a lot more. We have Dome and Dumber coming up next, but first, home title lock. Look, I understand times are tough right now. And the last thing anyone needs is to have to spend tens of thousands of dollars on a lawyer when you didn't do anything wrong. But that's what's happening with home title theft. Your home title, it's not a piece of paper in a bank vault. It's online. They're all online now. They're hacking into them. They're forging signatures on them. They're taking loans out against them. And they're going to evict you from your home. Or you're going to have to go spend a fortune on a lawyer to unwind the whole thing. Or you just go to HometitleLock.com and sign up. You see, they'll detect any tampering and shut it down like that. HometitleLock.com. We'll be back.
Now what am I doing here?
Joe Biden. He's heading off to Europe. So we should probably get ready for World War III. Just think about that. Joe Biden, I'm so tired. He's going to go negotiate things with NATO and the G7. That'll go well. Well, while the cat's away, the mice are back playing because Dome is back here in America. And not only is she back here in America, she is tackling the tough issues, and she's tackling them in a way, well, only she can.
The governor and I, and we were all doing a tour of the library here and talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time in terms of what we need to do to lay these wires, what we need to do to create these jobs. And there is such great significance to the passage of time when we think about a day in the life of our children.
What? Honestly, why is she so uncomfortable with a mic in her face? I would think she, of all people, be very comfortable with a mic in her face, but moving on. Apparently, her staff isn't comfortable at all. Her national security advisor has now resigned. That's number 10. That's 10 key staffers just recently have run out on Kamala Harris. Now, why? Well, rats in a sinking ship, as the old saying goes. Look, if you talk to people from California, remember Kamala Harris was from California. If you talk to people who are in the know in California, they'll all tell you the same thing. She was never really vetted, and because she's a black woman, they were uncomfortable. The media never wanted to vet her. She's a black Democrat woman. A black Republican woman would get torn to shreds, but she's a black Democrat woman, so the media chose to never vet her. But it was well known in political circles two things about Kamala. Not very bright, ruthlessly ambitious. Now, that's a pretty rough combination to have as the Vice President of the United States, especially when the Vice President of the United States of America has a above average, decent chance of becoming President of the United States of America within the next 3 years. Man, can you even imagine? And look, this has become an open secret now how much Joe and Kamala hate each other, but that doesn't make sense. I mean, we're going to talk to Jack Posobiec about it in a little bit, but that doesn't make sense. He picked her. Why would you pick somebody who's so terrible? Why would you do that to yourself? Of course she's going to be nasty to you. She's nasty to her staffers. That's why they're all quitting. She's nasty to everyone. She's a nasty human being. She was so nasty that while she was polling low in the primary, in the 2019 Democratic primary, remember, polling low, and not in the way Kamala normally pulls low. Pulling low, she had no chance to win. She goes out there in a debate and does this.
I also believe, and it's personal, and it was hurtful to hear you talk about the reputations of two United States senators who built their reputations and career on the segregation of race in this country. And it was not only that, but you also worked with them to oppose busing. And, you know, there was a little girl in California who was part of the second class to integrate her public schools. And she was bused to school every day. And that little girl was me.
You know my favorite part of that thing? It wasn't just knifing Joe Biden in the ribs when you have no chance to win the race. It was the, the voice kind of did the, I'm just about to cry thinking about my memories of getting bused to school. Love it. Look, I enjoy the suffering of communists and I like when they're fake in front of other people. It makes me laugh. I'm a bad person. We have a lot more coming up still on the show. Before we get to that, though, let's talk about health insurance. I know times are tough right now. I understand that. Everyone's looking for a way to save some money, try to get extra value out there. Have you tried OneShare Health? Because they have everything you could ever want. Medical, dental, 24/7, telehealth. I mean, you name it. OneShare Health has it. And they're a faith-based group. They give back. 5% of your monthly, every single month, goes to veterans struggling with PTSD. These are people who want the things you want. Stop supporting these healthcare, health insurance companies that hate your guts. Go to my.oneshareHealth.com/Kelly and use the promo code Jesse Kelly. That actually gets you $75 off your enrollment fee. How about that? My.oneshareHealth.com/Kelly, promo code Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
What am I doing here? There's been a little change in the arrangement of who's on the stage because of the First Lady's husband contracting COVID. But look at this room and what you see. Pardon? That's right. She's fine. It's me. That's not together. The second lady, the first gentleman. How about that? Anyway,
joining me now, my friend Jack Posobiec, of course, of the great Human Events Daily podcast on Apple Podcasts. Jack, okay, it appears the rumor mill is really cranking up in the recent days about the shade war you've always been reporting on between Vice President Dome and President Biden. What is the latest and greatest?
Well, so the latest and greatest is, and Jesse, we've been coming on here doing these segments for almost a year now at this point, talking about this shade war. And at first it was like, oh, that's just a Poso thing. He doesn't have any sources in the White House. He's making it all up. Biden and Kamala, they love each other, best of friends. There's no team, backstabbing going on. Well, now two reporters from the New York Times are coming out with an entire book about it, going all the way back to the early days of the administration, literally where you've got scenes where stuff that I didn't even know about. I mean, I knew about some of the backstabbing and the bitterness, but actually having Kamala Harris's chief of staff, Tina Flournoy, call in Biden staffers and berate them because they weren't standing up when Kamala Harris walked into the room the same way they did for President Biden. And that was a clear sign of disrespect and probably racism, too.
Okay, well, I guess I have to ask, not that I'm ever one to defend Harris, but was it a sign of disrespect? Is the animosity between the staffers there, too? What do we know?
Well, there's definitely animosity, right? But at the same time, if you're just a basic, normal human being, that's not how you react to something like that. You maybe make a look, the vice president would actually prefer this. You talk to someone like a normal person would. You don't call people out and start berating them. And that's what you have back and forth. And so She actually requested early on that she wanted the foreign policy portfolio, but when she asked where she wanted to go, she said, you know, I like those Nordic countries up north, like maybe you can send me up to Copenhagen, up to Oslo. I want to go there. And they said, yeah, we're going to send you down to a place called the Northern Triangle. You may have heard of that. It's down south.
All right, Jack, one more thing on this. I'm sorry to belabor the point, but I have to ask, if they hate each other so much, and they clearly do, and they clearly have, why pick her as vice president? It was his pick. Vice president's the best job in politics. You don't have an actual job. You don't have any responsibilities. You get to fly around on, I think it's Air Force Two, Secret Service, whole bunch of staffers. Life is good. Why give her the job if you hate her guts?
Well, there's two things at play here, right? Number one is obviously he had understood that his wing of the party, certainly during 2020, when everything was kicking off with George Floyd, BLM, the riots are going on across the country, right? He needed to pick. So he wanted Amy Klobuchar originally because he thought he was weak in the Midwest. So he wanted Amy Klobuchar. But then the party came in and said, they said, no, we want someone, you know, a woman of color. That's what it has to be, woman of color. It's got to be Kamala Harris. But the number two thing there with that with Jesse is if you're going to pick a vice president, you don't want to pick someone that you know will certainly stab you in the back on the first chance they get. It would be like picking Hillary Clinton as your vice president. I mean, you're not sleeping at night if Hillary Clinton's your vice president.
Yeah, well, or if she's in the same city, frankly. All right, moving on, this Jackson hearing in the Supreme Court. She seems to be able to not really answer basic questions. Here's this video.
When does life begin, in your opinion?
Senator, I don't know.
Ma'am?
I don't know.
Can an unborn child feel pain at 20 weeks in the birthing process?
Senator, I don't know.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
I can't.
You can't?
Not in this context.
So
I'm not a biologist.
The meaning of the word woman is so unclear and controversial that you can't give me a definition?
Jack, those seem like pretty easy to answer questions. I have no doubt, as much of a scumbag communist as she is, she knows the answer to those questions. Why won't she answer those questions?
Well, two things, right? So the main idea is that she is trying to pull the wool over the eyes of the rhino Republicans on the Senate to try to pick off some of them, like a Mitt Romney, someone who's very gullible, easily fooled, or people like Murkowski and Collins, who are a little bit smarter than Romney. Actually, you know, pretty low bar there. But what they're trying to do is to peel off some of those votes by appealing to more of the moderates. She is a dyed-in-the-wool radical. Joe Biden decided to try to slip a radical on the bench, and doing so under, just like with Kamala Harris, saying, well, it's a woman of color, the first woman of color that we've had, specifically black woman of color on the bench. That is what Joe Biden said. You know, we're not going to worry about her qualifications. We're not going to worry about her judicial rulings. Don't look at those, right? So this is the same example of credentialism. But what's amazing to me is that after 2 years, when we've been told, trust the science, follow the science, that when you're asked a basic question over, you know, what's a man? What's a woman? Can you define these things? What is abortion? What does life start? Suddenly, the science seems to fly completely out the window, and she can't simply answer a basic question of an adult female human being. And why is that? Because she is somebody that actually does believe in these things like critical race theory, like social justice, criminal justice reform. And that's why you're getting these kind of answers from her on a range of issues, obviously social issues, from abortion to biology to even whether or not someone who's viewed, you know, thousands of images of child pornography should be behind bars.
Ugh. Gosh, this is just icky. All right, you know what? We're moving on. Joe Biden's out there talking about chemical weapons and such. Here's a video.
President, how concerned are you about the threat of chemical warfare right now, that Russia would use chemical weapons? How high is that threat?
I think it's a real threat.
Okay, Jack, so just in recent days, they virtually guaranteed we're about to get hit with cyber attacks, and now we're hearing words like chemical weapons. What's the situation with Russia-Ukraine?
I mean, the situation with Russia-Ukraine is, it's pretty dire. It's certainly dire for cities like Mariupol. It's certainly dire for areas on the outskirts of Kiev. You're seeing the Russian military advance far beyond anything that I think the mainstream media wants to let on. I mean, we were told these kind of, you know, pop culture sort of stories very early on in the first 24 to 48 hours. They've all been debunked at this point. And it turns out that, you know, we're on now the cusp of the 1 month anniversary of the start of this thing. And Jesse, it turns out that it's an actual war. It's not like some Marvel movie where there's, you know, bad guys and good guys and the villains all get defeated in like 90 minutes or, you know, 2 hours or whatever. That it turns out that it's actual serious warfare. And then you've got guys like Joe Biden up there who don't really seem to know what they're doing. But, you know, at his age, he's just happy to be there. He's just happy to show up for work.
All right, finally, the Uyghurs, China. It's something that obviously gets brought up, especially on the right, a lot these days. The left conveniently tries to forget about it, but now we're hearing things like possible sanctions. I have a hard time believing that. Give me an update.
Well, so the Biden administration and Tony Blinken specifically are talking about sanctioning CCP officials over the Uyghurs and the treatment of minorities, which is good, but understand this stuff isn't happening in a vacuum, right? So they've already sanctioned Russia, the entire Russian people. They're going after their entire, trying to cut Russia out of the entire economy, which obviously you can't do because they provide 30% of the oil to all of Europe. They're also threatening sanctions on India. Then they're threatening sanctions, Brazil, if they do deals with Russia. So you go to China and now you're threatening sanctions on them. So guess what? You're going to set up a situation where you're fighting multi-front wars, sanctioning the whole world. And guess what's going to happen? They're just going to build economic systems outside of you. And they're going to say, you know what? You guys are sanction happy. You're crazy. You're led by a doddering old senior citizen who shouldn't be around. He should have his keys taken away from him. And we don't want to do business with you anymore. So that you're talking about over half of the world's population. They're going to walk away. And what does that mean for the U.S. dollar? That means the value of your bank account is going to disappear overnight.
Jack Posobiec, thank you so much, my man.
Appreciate it, brother.
All right. That's a lot for a show. That's a lot of heaviness. You know what we need? Lighten the mood is what we need. You're gonna want to see this one. Hang on. I ever tell you what I used to be able to do when I was a kid if I was good? Like if I actually cleaned up my room or brought home a B or something like that, that was good for me and on a report card. And I mean, little kid, you know what my mom used to do for me? She used to take these little trays. We had these little plastic trays and I love Doritos and I love bacon sandwiches. Just bacon, mayonnaise, bread. That's it. Bacon, mayo, bread, bacon sandwiches. And if I did good, she would go to the living room and turn on Dukes of Hazzard for me and she'd make me a little tray because I wasn't normally allowed to eat in the living room, and she'd put some Doritos on there and make me a bacon sandwich. And I would sit down and I would get to watch Dukes of Hazzard in front of the TV. That was my reward lots of times. So I gotta be honest, when I saw this video for Lighten the Mood, it brought me back to the old days. That's amazing. I need a bacon sandwich. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.